This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. What was supposed to be an exciting high school field trip to Harvard turned into a nightmare over the weekend.
Saturday night, a charter bus carrying a group of Pennsylvania high school students and chaperones slammed into the Western Avenue Bridge on Soldiers Field Road.
The crash injured 35 students. One of them suffered life-threatening injuries. Four others remain in critical condition. It took rescue crews more than an hour to free some of the passengers.
State police have not decided whether to file charges against the driver. They believe he might have missed the sign that prohibits buses from traveling on the road. Soldiers Field Road is part of a system of parkways that do not allow commercial traffic and where the bridges are too low for trucks and buses.
This is far from the first time that a commercial vehicle or a rental truck or a bus has slammed into one of the low bridges that span Starrow Drive and Soldiers Field Road. Joining us now is the spokesperson for the Department of Conservation and Recreation, the state agency that's responsible for these parkways, S.J. Port. And S.J., tell us what we know. First of all, how often do trucks and buses miss the signs that warn them of these low bridges? How many accidents like these do happen each year?
Hi, thank you for having me. We don't have stats on that at the moment. We're looking into it. I believe state police are going to have them for us all tomorrow. Anecdotally, we are seeing an uptick. Our field staff came to us a couple months ago saying we're seeing this uptick mostly of box trucks or vehicles you can rent by drivers who are not used to driving trucks that are more than 10 feet tall. They're used to their sedans or their small SUVs, but not some of these trucks they might rent to move or do something unique. So what we had planned to do is reach out to large real estate agencies and colleges and universities and anybody who might use those vehicles this spring to sort of ask that they flag this and take this into consideration. And of course, this terrible accident occurred, so I think we're going to start that awareness campaign a little earlier.
And what about other solutions? I mean, I've heard suggestions that there might be, for example, low-tech solutions that might sort of deal with the problem on a short-term basis, like attaching bells or chains to those low-hanging signs that might better alert drivers. Has that something like that ever been tried?
Cowbells were tried. In 1987, we attached cowbells to all of the low-hanging, what we call rubber headaches. They're the rubber signs that hang down and say cars only, meant to sort of give you a little slap on the hood of your vehicle or the top of your vehicle if you are too high to be on that road. So in 87, we put cowbells on all of those. Unfortunately, they weren't very efficient. Whenever we had a windy day, they would just clang throughout the entire day, which residents were not thrilled with, and I can appreciate that. And they didn't warn you of anything because you didn't know if they were clanging for your car or because a wind gust had come through. So we pulled those off around 1990, and occasionally it comes up. I think the chain idea is one that has come up as well, and we are looking into what we can do to give further warning beyond the signs that we already have to really deter people from getting on these roads.
And what about sort of bigger solutions, major infrastructure changes? For example, could these bridges be raised to make way for taller vehicles should a taller vehicle accidentally find its way onto the roadway?
Well, so MassDOT owns the bridges at this point. A couple years ago, DCR gave the bridges over and we kept the roadways. And we kept the roadways because they're parkways. These roads were built as part of a green thoroughfare throughout the city meant to enjoy the river and the parkland that runs throughout the city for everyone. And if we expand those bridges, we lose significant footage of the parkland, which really removes that original purpose. The last time these roads were expanded was the 1950s. That's when Sturrow and others went from being one lane each way to wider than that. And at that time, it did take up a significant portion of what was then parkland. And we're not not sure that's the best direction for a parks agency to go in.
Well, S.J. Port, spokesperson for the Department of Conservation and Recreation, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
So state officials say they're seeing an uptick in these kinds of incidences and that the rise could be tied to the proliferation of GPS devices, which typically do not alert drivers to roadway height and weight restrictions. That's true for most consumer-grade GPSs. But it turns out there is a specialized GPS device designed specifically for commercial bus and truck drivers, and it was developed right here in Boston.
Seatbelts, everybody.
Yep. Seatbelts. Hi, I'm Marlene Weiner, one of the co-founders of Teletype Company, manufacturers of the WorldNav truck GPS.
My name is Ed Friedman. I'm a president of Teletype Company, and I'm also a co-founder.
We drove along Storrow Drive towards Western Avenue with Marlene and Ed just this afternoon to find out how their specialized GPS system works.
So you've brought your trucker or commercial driver's GPS unit here with us in the car. And first thing I noticed is that it's a lot bigger.
That's right. These are 7 inches diagonal, and most of your consumer grade go 3.5 inches to maybe 5. And the other thing that is unique, especially to this particular GPS, is that you'll see the red lines on those roads.
Okay.
Notice, if you will, as we zoom in, we can see that we are in an area that is restricted for commercial vehicles. So in other words, notice how Storrow Drive and Memorial Drive are in bright pink.
Right.
That means that they are restricted, and we, in our GPS, would not route a commercial vehicle on that road.
So how does the GPS, how does your unit know that those roads are...
James J. Storrow Memorial Drive.
This is telling you that we just clicked on the road called Storrow Drive, and it's telling you, in case you wanted to check, that there is a height restriction and you shouldn't go there.
Okay. So a screen's popped up that says Storrow Drive.
It says Storrow Drive.
Road details.
That's right.
Height less than 11 feet.
That's right. So don't go there.
First of all, how does this unit know what roads are restricted based on height, restricted for commercial vehicle access? How does it know?
The map is basically a network. Each link contains information, not just whether it's a one-way or two-way street, just like regular GPSs, but it contains information on restrictions that take into account the size of the truck, the weight of the truck, and a hazmat level.
That's all information that should be... It's publicly available because of...
No, you
it's
have
not.
To pay. Yeah, that is proprietary information. So,
Oh, interesting. So we just tried to create a route to take us on to Storrow Drive, and what's happened? It says unable to create
don't
route.
Don't do that. And it tells you about exactly where it is and why it's restricted.
Well, it's interesting. So now we're not in a commercial vehicle at the moment. We're just in a passenger SUV, and we are heading on to Storrow Drive West, and I can see that it's we're on all the bright pink do not go roads, according to your GPS.
That's right. And if we were to create a route right now, it would come out in big red letters, get off.
We're on Storrow Drive West now, and we got on just near Kenmore Square, and we literally just passed underneath a pedestrian footbridge for Silver Way. And the first sign that we saw was actually on the bridge. So if you got onto Storrow Drive from Kenmore Square, it'd be too late. You'd already be facing the bridge.
You were. There are those little signs over there, and there actually was one, Meghna.
Oh, I missed it.
You actually okay. missed it. And so do many other truck drivers and coach drivers because they're from out of town. Notice that the recent one that got in trouble in Soldiers Field Road was from Philadelphia, or a Philadelphia-based company, right? So they don't have the local knowledge.
Right.
And even you, who are from here and were busy, distracted because we were talking...
For just a few seconds.
...didn't see that sign. But a coach driver or a truck driver is expected to know that and to see that. And you can see how difficult it is.
And in fact, I believe this coach driver was allegedly looking at his GPS.
That's another issue I'm really glad you brought up, because it's a matter of which GPS. In other words, he was distracted because he realized all of a sudden probably something didn't feel right.
Mm.
By then, you have a lot of people behind you. You're in Boston. It's busy. You're in an unknown place. You start to look at the GPS. GPS. Oh my God, what do I do now? That's the wrong time to be looking, right?
Okay. So here we're passing under one of those, I guess, dangling soft signs that said cars only?
That's right. We, of course, in our system would not put you in that position in the first place. So had the driver, for example, been using a commercial-grade GPS, he would have seen ahead of time that he shouldn't be there anyway.
He would have never been on the road to
begin. He wouldn't have been there in the first place.
So I believe we just went under, was that Western Ave?
Yes, that was Western Ave.
So that was the Western Ave Bridge that we just went under. It said caution 10 feet.
10 feet. Yep.
So that was the location of this weekend's accident.
It is, and it's so sad because it is preventable.
When you're going westbound on Storo and you approach that bridge, there's actually a dip in the road. So you may not, unless you're familiar with it being there, you may not actually even see it until you're right next to or right under the bridge.
That's right.
So you said 2008 was when you first developed... Oh, so no trucks. That sign was maybe 2 feet by 2 feet, though.
Right.
The no truck sign. But 2008 was when you developed the technology. Mm-hmm. It's on the market now, broadly. Is that correct? Okay. So is there any move to make this a mandatory piece of equipment for commercial vehicles? Because it seems to be useful and potentially could enhance safety on the roads.
I think there is growing interest to do so. There's always the trade-off between legislating something that's required and what's in the public interest and safety.
But at this point in time, do you know how many commercial vehicles do have something like this on board?
An estimate, I would say it's definitely less than half.
I think the penetration is really not there yet. I would say it's well under 50%.
We're living in a world today where GPS is a very common technology. No one's really unfamiliar with it. So it makes a lot of sense that there would be commercial applications beyond just passenger vehicles.
That's right, and people are expected to be up to date. Driving without the benefit of a pre-planned route and the instant updates of a GPS is going to seem absolutely archaic very soon.
Well, here we are, back at the WBUR studios. Thank you so much for taking this drive with us and sharing this technology that you've developed here in Boston. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting us.
Thank you for having us, Magnum. We really appreciate the opportunity.
Bye.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Have a good one.
Ed Friedman and Marlene Weiner are co-founders of Teletype, a Boston-based company that has created a special GPS system for commercial vehicles. And by the way, by at least one measure, thousands of trucks travel on restricted roads in Massachusetts every year. For example, a Department of Transportation spokesperson wrote in an email that 10,000 overheight vehicles were detected in the Central Artery Tunnel system each year. That doesn't mean there were 10,000 strikes, but these vehicles tripped their sensors that many times.
Stay with us. Still ahead on our program, small town New England life, friendship, dark secrets, and the deep pleasures of drinking by yourself. They're all part of Ann Leary's new novel, The Good House. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.